This is Rabbi Jeffrey Sachs, editor of Tradition. Visit traditiononline.org and find Tradition Journal on Facebook to follow some of the special content we've been producing during these difficult coronavirus days. From time to time, I'll be checking in with our authors and editors on these short podcast episodes to hear how they're managing through the crisis. Apologies for the sound quality. We're all at home in quarantine and couldn't get into the studio at the Tradition editorial offices. Today I'm talking with Dr. Erica Brown, a consulting editor at Tradition and a well-known author and educator. She's the director of the Mayberg Center for Jewish Education and Leadership and an associate professor at the George Washington University. Erica tells me that she's been thinking about the Avinu Malkeinu prayer, part of the tefillot for fast days and the Yamim Noraim, the days of awe, times of introspection, repentance, and Cheshbon HaNefesh, spiritual stock-taking. These certainly seem to be appropriate themes for our current circumstance. She specifically drew my attention to the line, Avinu Malkeinu Zachor Ki Afar Anachnu, our Father, our King, remember that we are but dust. Erica, at this time of year, normally lots of people are thinking about dust before Pesach, but I suspect you have something else on your mind. We are but dust is a statement of humility in the face of uncertainty. So tell me what you're thinking these days.
Thank you, and thank you for doing this. I think it's really important for us to be doing additional learning and facilitating conversations. They provide a stabilizing anchor in what is no doubt a very, very difficult time for all of us. Before we start, our learning today should be in the merit of the refuah shlema to all those who are struggling with coronavirus, and really a special shout out to all of our healthcare workers who are putting themselves in harm's way. I've been struck by the way in which the scientific community that we put so much trust in has been in some way crippled and paralyzed by the enormity of this, by the inability to, you know, predict what's going to happen, as a sort of reminder of the ultimate sovereignty of God in the universe. And it's turned me to Avinu Malkeinu. I took the word seriously of a number of my rabbinic colleagues who started last week to ask their congregations to say Avinu Malkeinu, which is usually reserved for the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, the 10 days of repentance before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and also on communal fast days. I understand that Rabbi Lau in Israel has mandated this coming Wednesday as a half-fast day. Mm-hmm. And I'm not used to saying Avinu Malkeinu outside of fast days. Mm-hmm. There's some irony. I think all of us are probably eating more than ever, and yet saying because we're locked indoors, and yet the melody of Avinu Malkeinu, those last lines, keeps coming back to me. And several years ago, in a different uncertain time in our country's history, and by that I mean both in Israel and the United States, or anywhere in the globe, we have moments when we're in touch with the deepest ambiguities and uncertainties that to the human condition. And so there was that line, Zachor ki afar anachnu, and just all of a sudden I remember reading this and saying, wait a minute, why are we reminding God that we're dust? Does God need to remember that? Do we need to remember that? Why do we need to remember that? And so I began my own research on this statement, did some writings about it. And I think on the one hand, you know, we're infinitely small before God, our King, before this image of God as Melech. We are unworthy. We bow in humility. And yet, if I am only dust when I approach God, then I have no real substance, no form, no shape worthy of praying and supplicating. But for some reason, and maybe because I'm thinking a lot about germs and the spread of germs, this image of afar has been preoccupying me and also helping me think a little bit about different biblical references to afar specifically this balance between man's dignity, human dignity, and humility, that sense that we were created from the dust.
Afar min adama.
Afar min adama, as we read in Bereshit Bet Zion in 20, verse 7. And on the one hand, we think about what our roots are, and yet we try to live a life where we escape that sense of the dust of the earth, even though we're returning to the earth in that form, so that we can live with the breath of God for some period of time. And so this notion of dust and breath is something I've been thinking about a lot in relation to the coronavirus, and specifically around people who are approaching this time with, I think, undue certainty. Specifically, some of our Orthodox brethren who are not playing by the rules, and maybe humility is the more important value right now. In the face of uncertainty, we don't kind of throw our fate to the wind and say, we're going to get together, we'll have smachot, we'll have dinyanim, we don't need to pay attention to the rabbis. Some of the rabbis aren't paying attention to this themselves. And so I don't know how you feel about this, Jeff, but I'm struggling right now when I see a masthead or I see a newspaper headline and pictures of Jews, committed Orthodox Jews, and I'm struggling with saying, you know, we're aligned in our observance of Shabbat, we're aligned in our commitment to halakha, and yet our commitment to science is different. And how much does that divide us when pikuach nefesh is the value, the central,
right,
the central Jewish value?
I've grown increasingly alarmed by the suspicion that some segments have of science. If the scientists, if the doctors, if the medical experts say we should do this, in some quarters, the knee-jerk reaction is to say, well, we know better. And then it'll take a week or 2 weeks, and the obvious results of the virus affecting one community in statistically significant ways beyond others until they come around. And in that time, much damage has been done. Much damage has been done, of course, Rahmanul Islam, to the people themselves who become ill, but much damage has been done to the Jewish community at large. I think that there's, the old adage of forgetting history and then having to repeat it is too well worn to have to repeat, except for the fact that we know that throughout history, plagues and other calamities were blamed on Jews. And readers of the newspapers should see these things, that against the instructions of the authorities, both here in Israel, in the United States, or elsewhere, people feel that they know better, when in fact the result is proving the exact opposite, is the lack of, you were discussing a lack of humility in front of God, but it's a lack of humility in the face of science, which is itself a reflection of God's plan for how the universe operates, and that is
exactly. But I think
great
it's the pikuach nefesh aspect, though, Jeff. I think that's what, you know, if this were, you know, a Jewish value against a scientific value alone, and there were two different frameworks by which an individual understood his or her life, I think it would be easier for me to digest this. I think because all of us understand that pikuach nefesh is a fundamental value, that it has to change the dynamic. If you could say, I'll throw care to the wind, I'll go out, it's more important for me to say musaf with a minion than to isolate myself. That's one thing. That's a decision you're making on your own. But when we know that the spread of this infection spreads so quickly, our carelessness really is all the more striking and disappointing. I wonder, as I actually heard recently of someone I know who was at a Shabbat table with a family member who had gone to a wedding on a Jewish enclave, an Orthodox enclave on the East Coast of the United States. And that person now has the virus, and the virus has spread to more members of the family who are around that table. How could you not be angry? How could you not feel, how could this not divide us? And I'm worried about that. I'm worried that when hopefully this is over, how are we going to recover in our own community from that cost?
Yes. I want to return for a second to your thoughts about Zachar Ki Afar Anachnu. Your notion of the humility that's built into creation, that we ourselves are afar, but it happens that I'm in the middle, or I had been in the middle, of teaching Rabbi Soloveitchik's Lonely Man of Faith to students in Midrashah here in Israel, but of course our study has been interrupted as almost all of them have returned to the United States, and we're forced to try to make it up over Zoom or some other kind of mechanism. And we're right in the middle of trying to understand Adam the Second, the depiction of humanity as portrayed in the second chapter of Genesis as opposed to the first. The idea of man being created from dust of the earth in chapter one is that he is lowly, that he is humble, but Adam the Second is majestic. He is created in God's holy image. And even afar, even the idea of the dust, has certain resonances of majesty, of grandeur. In Bereshit Perek Yud Gimel, Genesis 13, God promises Abraham, "V'samti et zarcha k'afar ha'aretz," I will make your seed as plentiful as the dust of the earth. A portrait of Jewish magnificence, that the descendants of Abraham will be so plentiful that we will fill the world. We'll be in every corner. We'll be contributing to society and to human endeavor in each in every corner of creation. That's afar in a very different type of way. So there's this duality of being humble in front of God, being humble in front of science, but through the humility, through accepting the yoke of heaven and the yoke of knowledge. That is the source of our, that can be potentially the source of our greatness. And I think that might also serve as a kind of message here. So that notion of the kind of two sides to dust, of course, every pardon the stereotype, every Jewish mother wants to annihilate all the dust. But but really maybe there's something to it that
And I want to actually bring in two parts of Ketuvim, that two passages that were very striking to me on this very thought, Jeff. The first is from a Mizmor of Tehillim, Kuf Lamed Tet, 139. And I'll just read quickly in English and then something from Eo from the Book of Job. "For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful your works, my soul knows it well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, in your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when there as yet was none of them." So I love this image of the fearfully and wonderfully made, of celebrating the component parts that make up a human being. And that ties into a different irony. You mentioned the irony that you saw in the dialectic tensions of the Adam 1 and Adam 2 that have been well discussed and promulgated in our community. But I think that reminding God that you're dust, that we are afar, is a way of reminding God that He created us and He needs to continue to take care of His creation. it has the humility aspect. We're nothing, and we come to you from a position of uncertainty and vulnerability, and we entrust you with our lives. And at the same time, God, don't forget that you are the one who made us out of dust and therefore take care of us. And I think that's very much aligned with Iyov in Perek Yud, Sukim Chet Tigud, that Job 10:8-12. Your hands fashioned and made me, and now you've destroyed me altogether. Remember that you made me like clay, and will you return me to the dust? Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese? You clothed me with skin and flesh. You knit me together with bones and sinews. You've granted me life and steadfast love, and your care has preserved my spirit. So this idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually making us like clay and saying, you know, you have made me this way. You need to still steward me. And I think that's what strikes me most about Avinu Malkeinu and uncertainty, and the uncertainty specifically related to our physical beings. As we're watching more and more people, as we learn of more and more people who are affected by COVID-19, the sense of, you know, God, I need you to be with me now. I need you to take care of the physicality of my life because you created me from dust. And I'm reminding you, not only that I'm dust, but I'm reminding you that you were central to my creation from the Afar Hadama.
Important words at this difficult time. I've been talking with Dr. Erica Brown. We hope to bring you more episodes of the Tradition Podcast in the coming days, and we hope very soon to return to our normally scheduled program of greater issues in Jewish thought. Dr. Erica Brown's most recent book is Esther, Power, Fate, and Fragility in Exile, recently released by Magid Books. Get it now and prepare for next Purim. And you can read some of her writings and listen to some of her classes and lectures at ericabrown.com. We hope until next time, all of our listeners and all those dear to you will be healthy.